the Cyclocross Podcast by The Cycling Podcast in association with Rafa. Rafa exists to improve your ride with the finest kit, inspiring stories, and vibrant clubhouses across the globe.
This is a Cyclocross podcast in association with our friends at Mud Eater. My name's Lionel Burney, and I'm in Valkenburg at the bottom of the Coburg Climb, which viewers of road cycling will know is the final climb in the Amstel Gold Race Classic, which is held in April, one of the spring classics. These days precedes Liège-Bastogne-Liège, incorrectly called one of the Ardennes classics. This isn't actually the Ardennes. We're right in the bottom corner of the Netherlands. It's only around 15 or 20 miles in one direction to Germany, and perhaps even less to Belgium. But we are in Valkenburg, which is not far from Maastricht. It's really one of the hotspots of European cycling. This climb, the Coburg, has been one of the main features of the Amstel Gold Race for many years. It used to finish at the top until a few years ago when they changed the finish and now make the riders go over the top and down the other side for a couple of kilometres. The Tour de France has also been here a couple of times, in 1992 when Gilles de Lyon won, and more recently in 2006 when Matthias Kessler won. And I was here that day, and in fact was in one of the bars just at the bottom of the climb, and the atmosphere was absolutely electric, as it is on Amstel Gold Day, because this part of the town at the bottom of the Coburg is lined with bars and they get very, very busy. And this morning it was really sleepy, quiet, almost very much out of season at the beginning of February, but it's waking up a little bit now, and there's a sense of anticipation that the World Cyclocross Championships are going to be here over the weekend. We've been seeing riders come down the hill covered in mud, bodies and bikes caked in brown sludge, because although it's eased up a little bit now, it's been raining quite persistently since early morning, and it is cold. And even if it stopped raining now, the ground is so sodden and waterlogged that it's going to be a muddy World Championship for sure. And I'm keen to find out whether the conditions will upset the form book at all. But we'll come to that a little bit later in the episode when I catch up with Belgian cyclocross reporter Renard Schotter, who, frankly, what he doesn't know about cyclocross isn't worth knowing. So we'll catch up with him later. Before that, I'm going to go and check out the course myself. It's up the top of the hill here, so I've either got to walk up the Coburg climb, or I've got to go up a steep section of steps that will take me up to the course. It's kind of in a field and woodland that is at the top of the Coburg climb, so I'll make my way up there in a moment. I've got my trusty boots on, which have seen me through several muddy Glastonbury festivals, so hopefully that will help me keep my footing. So it's Friday afternoon, it's just gone 2 o'clock, and the circuit has reopened for a couple of hours for the riders to come and have a practice on the course. And there are riders of all nationalities going around at the moment. I have to say, it is slow going for them. They're really churning through the mud, the ground has broken up and has become thick. And I think in horse racing parlance, this would be very, very heavy going. There's nothing good to firm about it. There are tarmac sections, there are tricky transitions from sort of road sections back onto grass, or more to the point, mud. It's a challenging course. I heard Adrie van der Poel talking about the weather being a big factor in determining how the course rode over the weekend. Van der Poel, of course, former cyclocross world champion and father of the favourite Mathieu van der Poel, the World Cup winner. And certainly the course is changing before our eyes, really, and the more people are riding on it, it's getting heavier and gloopier. So my joke earlier about my boots being fit for the mud of the Glastonbury Festival perhaps wasn't such a smart quip after all, because I'm going to need them. The whole circuit is set up for the spectators, expecting thousands of people in here over the weekend. Lots of urinals and portable toilets in position. Beer tents all over the place. There's one particularly big one up in the sort of car park area behind me here. And then there are places that are going to be serving hamburgers, hot dogs and frites, staple food of the Belgian cyclocross calendar, really. It's a bit like going to the Ghent Six, the unmistakable smell of frites in the air. It could be a hungry weekend for me here. I'll try to resist the hot dogs and the frites. I do think that the combination of beer tents and mud could be treacherous for some of the spectators, so people should really watch their footing as they're walking around the course, and hopefully they won't overindulge and come to grief. But the course itself, it's fascinating to see how it's set up, and well, I can only see it being a war of attrition really in all of the races. There's a Belgian rider now just walking around the corner with his bike hopped back on. Looks a bit demoralised already. I think that's one of the Belgian junior riders, I think, who'll be racing tomorrow. Because of course when it's muddy, the course kind of restricts the options for the riders. There becomes almost a line of least resistance that's been trodden or ridden, and the riders have to stick to that, and so passing and overtaking rivals becomes trickier. But there are open places on the course where it will be possible to pass. Where I am now, it's kind of snaking across the grass and up the hill and then ducking down and into the woods over there behind me. So typical cyclocross fair, and the weather makes it.
My name is Christoph Kopp.
So it's Friday morning, it's raining in Valkenburg. I've seen a lot of riders who have been on the course this morning, very muddy. What difference does this make when it's a muddy course for you as a mechanic?
A little bit difference also with WeCar now. It's a different race. Normally it's the same as every week, but material is the same as every week. It's not so much different.
So do the tyres change much, or are any equipment changes on the bikes?
No, it's the same as every week. We had not different wheels. We are now checking the bikes of everything works.
How many bikes does Wout have?
Six bikes we have now of the week.
So he can practice on the course on Sunday. If it's muddy, he can practice on one bike and race on another, and there's no problem for you?
No, we have a normal one of two bikes we have for the race, to start the race and on the second bike, and the rest is training of the track circuit, and then we have one bike for the start, the best bike.
And lastly, the UCI, they don't allow the high pressure jet wash in the pit area or in the parking area. So what do you do with the bikes afterwards? Do you just wash them down, get the worst of the mud off, and then wash them properly when you're away?
No, we wash the bikes after the race, clean everything. We check the bikes after a race, and then we put them in the camper, and then we ride into home, and then home we check the day after of that everything is okay.
So you strip down and then rebuild almost?
No, this is different. I'm not the guys from Schram. You want everything okay, and we'll check it by yourself. There's one of two times up a year that they check the bikes.
Hello, I'm Richard Browninger with the SRAM Road Sports Marketing Group.
And what are you doing here at the Cyclocross Worlds this weekend?
We're working with our SRAM sponsor athletes, preparing their bikes, just making sure that all the bikes are 100%. Each rider typically has their own mechanic. We just assist the mechanics in making sure that everything is 100% going into the race.
In terms of the conditions this weekend, it's raining now. It may dry up, it may stop raining over the weekend, but the ground is going to be very wet over the whole weekend. So I'm imagining for the cyclocross bikes, this is pretty much the biggest test that they can go through.
Correct. It's a very big test. So what we're doing in preparation for this particular weekend, it is going to be wet the whole weekend. We expect mud. This particular race, the riders are pre-riding the course a lot more than they typically do. So for instance, Wout here has five bikes. We'll prepare one or two bikes just for the race. He will not ride those on the course until the race. The reason we do that is just so the bikes don't, more or less, don't get power washed before the race. So we make sure, you know, all the bearings are 100% and there's no water contamination in any part of the bike.
It looks like you're greasing things here. Is that, you just go through every process just that little bit more thoroughly than usual because it's World Championship weekend and correct, because of the conditions?
Correct. We do all the same stuff we would do for every other race. It's just we make sure that everything is 100% and the bikes aren't, more or less, the race bikes aren't being ridden before the race.
And a Welch mechanic told me that, you know, there's no different tires to a normal race this weekend, even though it's going to be very muddy. I mean, is there anything you can do to mud-proof the bikes, just give the riders a little bit more help?
We're using some stock greases that are designed for the different applications, just making sure that there's plenty of that grease in each area of the componentry group. Bottom bracket is very important. The wheels are very important. You know, just making sure that everything's, you know, up to par for the race.
And lastly, I guess when the flag goes down, it's just a case of crossing fingers, crossing toes, hoping for the best.
Yes, and, you know, we definitely, you know, help out the mechanics. And, you know, for instance, Christoph, Waltz mechanic, is a very, very, very good guy and very good at his job. But we will, you know, help him out throughout the weekend, you know, if there are any issues that come up with the bike.
The Cycling Podcast is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you to Science in Sport for sponsoring the Cycling Podcast. If you would like to get 25% off all Science in Sport products, go to scienceinsport.com, select which products you want, go to the checkout, and when you reach the checkout, enter the code SISCP25. That's SISCP25 for 25% off all Science in Sport products. That's energy gels and recovery drinks and everything that they do there. Talking of recovery drinks, I've retired now to the Amstel Experience bar. I think I've offended our hosts here by ordering a Belgian beer, a Quadamont, which is obviously one of the famous climbs from the Flemish classics, from the Tour of Flanders. I decided not to have a glass of Amstel. I've gone for a Belgian beer, and I'm not sure I'm as welcome as I was 10 minutes ago. But I'm joined here by Renat Schotter, who's working over the World Championships weekend for Sportsa. And I said earlier, what Renat doesn't know about cyclocross isn't worth knowing anyway. But is this somewhere you've been before, Renat?
Yes, the Amstel Gold Experience is a permanent exposition here. I've been here a couple of times, the Saturday before the Pro Amstel Gold Race, and then you have thousands of cycling enthusiasts doing their race, doing their 200 kilometers just the day before the Pros, and this is really a place with the history of the Amstel Gold Race, and if you enter the premise, you will actually smell the liquor around.
Yes, it's the unmistakable smell of cyclists and beer. On the wall, there's lots of photographs from cycling history. There's Eddie Merckx there, there's Michael Bogert there. There's a screen showing highlights from old editions of the Amstel Gold Race. Saw Jan Raas winning multiple editions of the race on the screen earlier. But we're not here for road cycling, Renat. We're here for what is going to be a very muddy weekend. I know you haven't had a chance to get your feet dirty yet out on the course, but I've been and looked at it. It might not be cyclocross. It might be more cross cycling because there's going to be a lot of running involved, I think.
Well, that all depends, of course, on Sunday's conditions. I mean, we're Friday. A lot can change till Sunday. We've seen that over in the past. But as it looks now, it looks like we're in for some really wet conditions. There's also some rain predicted for the upcoming weekend. So I'm really thrilled to see what the eventual conditions will be for the big race on Sunday. Of course, I'm mentioning the men, but we shouldn't forget the other four categories. But the race, of course, that's tickling our fantasy because there's the big duel, and we all know that the Dutch home rider can only lose, kind of, and the Belgian challenger can only kind of win. But maybe I'm getting too much forward now.
Well, I mean, that is the big story for Sunday, isn't it? The battle between Mathieu van der Poel and Wout van Aert. We've got the reigning champion for the last 2 years against van der Poel, who's won the World Cup so convincingly. Perhaps maybe peaked a little bit too soon. Who knows? Maybe he's coming down a little bit in recent weeks. But that's all on Sunday. Before that, we have three races tomorrow. We have the junior men at 11 o'clock Central European Time. Then we have the under 23 women at 1 p.m. and then the elite women at 3 p.m. I was up at the pit area earlier talking to Matt Bramier, whose wife Nikki Bramier will be riding for Great Britain in the elite women's race. Before that, I think Great Britain have got a fantastic chance with Evie Richards, who won the first under 23 World Championship race 2 years ago. That was in Zolder in Belgium.
I'll never forget that one, because that was the infamous Femke van den Driessen race where we got that little piece of history written. It was a black page, of course, with that mechanical doping, as we can call it. But so it is a race I will never forget for two reasons, actually.
That's right. Femke van den Driessen, she found with a motor in her bike, and obviously, and that case still really isn't resolved, is it? I mean, it's still rumbling on. No one has really discovered whether that's the tip of an iceberg or not.
Yes, that's true. So what do you want me to say about that then? I mean, that's really the most difficult question I've had over the past couple of years, and it is still a mystery. And Femke van den Driessen got out of cycling, that's for sure. She's picked up her own life, and somehow it's a sad story, because I also think she had a talent, and we'll never know if that talent was worth anything, because it's a very sad story, and when I think back of that day, it was really a black day for cyclocross, and I hope it never happens again, to be honest.
It was a good day for Evie Richards, of course. She won the rainbow jersey 2 years ago in Zolder. She got a bronze medal last year. She's still only 20, I think, and probably the hot favourite in the under 23 category tomorrow. What about the elite women? Sanna Kant is the, well, she looks on paper to be the big favourite. Will muddy conditions suit her?
Yeah, shouldn't be in her disadvantage, but I think the other two big challenges are, for me personally, I expect Marianne Vos to have a major peak tomorrow, because basically she's only doing cross with that one race in mind. She doesn't mind a lot about the rest of the season. It's all about becoming world champion again. She's had so many world titles in the past. And then the other major challenger in the women's race, if you ask me, is Pauline Ferrand-Prévot. Of course, the French woman has made that crash last week, but I think she will be recovered, and I think she will be a powerhouse too in tomorrow's race. And to be honest, I think those are the main women in my mind right now. But of course, we never should rule out quality and experience from Katie Compton, and then there's the British girls, of course. So I think conditions of the day will make a lot of difference. We shouldn't forget that Helen Wyman has won a couple of times on the Koppenberg, and it is a bit similar like the Koppenberg, this race course, with a lot of climbing, with some off-camber sections. So maybe Helen Wyman has the race of her life tomorrow. You never know.
Well, we will find out tomorrow. What do you know about the course, Renard? Because the World Cups that have been held here at Valkenburg have been on one particular circuit. You were saying that they've really ripped that up, and this is a very different circuit. My impression was it's very twisty and turny in places, but there's different sections to it. There's the grassy, now mud sections. It's just total mud. The transitions from the tarmac onto the grass and the grass onto the tarmac are difficult, tricky, potential hazards there with wheels slipping. Then there's all the wood section, which is downhill and uphill. And then, of course, there's this steps and the bridge, which even you were saying it's not something you've seen a lot of before.
To be honest, I've never seen a bridge like that before. I must have a memory loss, which is also a possibility, of course. But having a bridge after a section of stairs, and then you have to make one curve, and then you have a little straight forward section, and then you take another left-hander, that's really unseen. I can't remember any race having a bridge like that, so I'm quite curious to see how's that going to work out in race conditions. As for the other parts of the race course, it has the classical Valkenburg pedigree, but conditions are totally different from the World Cups we've seen here before, because we're in another time of year. The World Cup is usually ridden in October. Now we're beginning February, and that makes a hell of a difference. So from the race courses Lars van der Haar has won on, there's basically nothing left, if you ask me.
The conditions are going to be key, of course. We've had a lot of rain today and overnight. The forecast is for the rain to continue a little bit into the evening, but maybe it will dry up. A couple of the people I spoke to today said they're hoping that it either stays wet or it stays wet, because the worst case scenario is if it dries out a little bit and then it becomes really, really thick and very difficult, and then it makes the riding even harder. At least at the moment, with it so wet, there are sections that they can actually ride through. So they're not going to know that until they get here tomorrow, are they?
No, that's how it goes. You still have to wait the overnight, and then it's the same from Saturday to Sunday. And that's the unusual thing about cyclocross. Even if you have conditions of a race course for 2 weeks in a row, you might show up for the day of the race and you have completely different conditions. That's how it works. And then comes the choice of the tires, and that's how the game goes on. So it's really very intense, the preparation, and they have to make a lot of thinking before the race. The battle of the material and the gear is really in the mind also, and I think that makes it also a fascinating sport.
What about the atmosphere out on the course? I walked up there. There's a lot of beer tents. There's a lot of places selling frites and hamburgers and hot dogs, which will be open tomorrow. I don't want to dwell too much on the food and the drink, but that's all part of it. There's something about the cyclocross in Belgium, and we still have the same culture here, even though we're not in Belgium. We're just tucked over the border. Are they expecting a lot of people here this weekend? And will the atmosphere be as sort of pumping as it sometimes is at the Coxeter Cross and it sometimes is at the Hoogeheide Cross?
I'm quite sure it will match that. I mean, a lot of Belgians will cross the border. And what is particular about this Valkenburg location is that there's not so much space, actually. So if 20,000 or so show up, it'll be really, really crowded, because at the World Cup, we've never seen masses of that amount. So I'm quite curious to see if the regular Worlds crowd shows up, what it's going to be. But I'm quite sure that it will be a ball, for sure.
The RAFA Cycling Club is the largest global community of its kind. Members share their passion for the road through rides, events, exclusive club kits and racing. Find out more at rafa.cc.
Thank you very much to RAFA for sponsoring the cycling podcast, enabling us to cover all of the grand tours. We'll be at the Giro d'Italia, the Tour de France and the Vuelta a España every day again this year. We'll also be covering the classics and the World Championships and everything that joins the cycling season together. It's a little bit unusual for us to be starting the season with cyclocross. This is our first foray into cyclocross, and we're really glad to have Renat with us. You cover the whole of the season. It's quite a short season really, but it spans the once the road stops, it takes you all the way through up to Christmas and then into the new year, and there's really no time for you to stop, is there?
Well, to be honest, I didn't cover that many races this year. It's the exceptional season. I had the liberty to take some time off, and I needed it somehow, because like you say, it usually never stops, and that's really mentally, it's not easy sometimes, but at the other hand, I feel privileged to be able to cover cycling through the whole year, and cyclocross has always been one of my big assets, and I'm going to continue doing that in the future. So it's all a question of, I have to make some choices and look what I can do during the season, and I've just come back from Argentina. Think about it yourself. If you can choose between the mud of Hoogeheide and the French World Cup or the high summer of Argentina, what would you do?
Well, I'd choose the mud of Nome and the mud of Hoogeheide, I think. But, you know, I'm quite happy wrestling around in the mud, Renat. Cyclocross, I know you touched on this with Daniel and Balin in the episode at the start of the week, but it's the heartbeat of cyclocross is Belgian. You know, we take for granted that there will be Belgian challengers in the races, but in terms of the profile of Sana Kant, who's been at such a high level all year, and you know, another world title, you know, possibly on the cards, what is her profile like in Belgium? I mean, how big of a star is she in the sports world?
Now, actually, there's a very good example to show her current status. The Belgian Cycling Federation has decided to give the same award to a female world champion as to a male world champion. That's the first in cyclocross history. So I'm not 100% sure now about the amount. It's probably €20,000. So she gets the same amount of money if she becomes world champion like Wout van Aert or any other Belgian, which is really historical. And not so long ago, only a couple of years ago, it was a ridiculous award. And having that symbolic thing, like the same reward now, that says it all. That sums it up. She's now adopted as really one of the main figures of Belgian cyclocross, and I'm quite sure that Belgium has made a big step towards 100% emancipation of women's cyclocross, which it's really needed. And now what has to follow is the TV coverage internationally, and then the women have to step in there as well, and that would be the perfect picture. But reality sadly shows that we're still a bit far from that situation.
But things are moving on. I mean, the women's race at the Cyclocross World Cup is only, well, this is, I think, the 19th edition. The first one was in the year 2000. I mean, considering, you know, 50 years behind the men before the UCI thought, well, why don't we put on a women's race at the World Championship? So it's come along quite quickly in 18 years, and obviously still some way to go. But, you know, I think it definitely helps that tomorrow's race, there is this big three-way battle. You know, we still don't quite know with Marianne Vos, do we, what level will she be at? And will the sapping nature of the course, it's not going to be a racer's course, is it? It's going to be a strength course. It's going to be all about the transitions on and off the bike the whole way round. So it's going to really change the dynamic of the race. And what I wanted to ask was just how important is the gridding and how important is that sprint off the line, you know, doing that incredible intense effort to get into the first corner and get the line through into the first kind of off-tarmac section. That's going to be absolutely critical tomorrow, isn't it?
Well, I think in this race, it's critical not to crash. I mean, but it won't be determining the rest of the race. If you get through it without troubles, then the race course is that honest that it will speak for itself and the best will come forward, because it's such a tough course. So the start in that sense is a little bit less important than in a lot of other races, and especially fast races. But since this will be a slow course, the start is just a matter of staying out of trouble.
And so there will be opportunities to make up ground, and maybe, but because a bad change from riding to running, or choosing to put the bike on the shoulder or choosing to wheel it, they're the critical differences, aren't they, that you could lose, you know, a few strides or a few wheel lengths here and then a few more the next time. It's going to be a race where it's going to be all about those transitions, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a race with one transition after another. It has so many challenges, and also looking forward to that particular off-camber section that goes down, and that's really one of the sections that's created a lot of spectacle at the World Cups, even when it was not muddy. So considering now with that conditions, those conditions, I think it'll be an awesome piece of the race course to be standing along, and if I would be spectating, I would go that place and stay there for the rest of the race. But I think it might be very decisive, because if you crash there, then you're in a lot of trouble, really a lot of trouble.
And lastly, will you have a chance to have a hot dog or a burger or some frites? Or you've got to be careful not to get ketchup around your mouth if you're appearing on camera, haven't you?
Well, usually I don't eat that much during race days, because you're, first of all, it's too busy, and second of all, you don't want to eat anything that will keep you from performing normally, so you don't take any risk. But I must say, from when I run around from point A to B, sometimes it's difficult to withstand and just not stop and say, let's have a bag of fries instead of covering the race.
Well, we'll recap all three races tomorrow evening. We may well come and find the warmth of the bar. I'll be out on the course during the day, as will you. We'll recap the junior men's race, the women's under 23 race, and of course the women's elite race. But if you had to pick a winner of the women's elite race now, sort of 20 hours ahead of time, who would you see pulling on the rainbow jersey tomorrow evening?
Well, I'm not going to be chauvinist Belgian then, because I kind of think it will be PFP's year again. Pauline Ferrand-Prévot, she's made an astonishing comeback in a very short amount of time, and it'll be difficult for Sanne Kamm, because I think Pauline Ferrand-Prévot has a, that little bit more of climbing ability than Sonic Ant has. So I hope I'm wrong, to be honest, but I'm afraid she might be the winner after all.
Well, we shall see. The most important thing, though, is to make sure we keep our footing in the mud and we're not sat here covered in mud this time tomorrow, Renard. So if one of us goes over, we'll have to tell the listeners that we're sat caked in mud.
You count on that. I mean, I'm not sure about your trousers. I think you have a bit thin trousers there. I recommend that you have thicker trousers because tomorrow you'll be freezing your out. So the mud will conquer places where there's never been before, probably. So.
Well, these are actually a very smart pair of Rafa trousers. I'm certainly not risking them a second day running on the course, that's for sure. Renard, the party atmosphere is not particularly full in here, but they crank the music up. I think Friday night in Valkenburg, normally when Amstel Gold is on, the town is absolutely rocking, but it does feel a little out of season at the moment. But maybe it will liven up this evening.
Yeah, you're right. It's not the Amstel Gold race, and I think cyclocross in Holland is that little less popular than it is in Belgium. And if this would be a Belgian town, it would be buzzing already. But it's not. But I'm quite sure that tomorrow, on the day of the first races, the Dutch crowd will make up for that. I'm quite sure they can be very, very noisy.
Yeah. Not only that, all the Belgians are just finishing work, getting into their cars and driving across here now, aren't they?
I think not a lot of Belgians will stay overnight. I mean, it's that close to Belgium that they just can, how do you call that? Is this that English?
Commute. They can commute in and commute out.
Yeah. I think they're going to commute to the cyclocross. It sounds great. The only thing that's lacking there is then a bike to commute.
Well, let's leave it there, Renard. We'll cover all of the races tomorrow, and thank you very much.
You're welcome, Lionel.
Been listening to the Cycling Podcast. Become a friend of the podcast at thecyclingpodcast.com. Not only do you get access to exclusive feature-length documentary-style episodes, you help us provide free daily coverage of all three Grand Tours. This episode was edited and produced by Will Jones.